Uncle Howard, that's my mother's older brother. She's seated back there in the corner. Uncle Howard used to do things like this all the time. If I would come and said, I never paid for a meal. Never. Went to great places, too. Very expensive. Never paid for anything. If you're around him, it's just something that he did over and over and over again. People did those kind of things, especially him. He offered things, you know, and I don't know about you, but every student is willing to take anything free, correct? If it's free, it's me. Is that what you say it is? Okay. That's one of those kind of fun things that you get into. Free meals, free shirts. I've already had to hear about BMW this morning. Hey, it was free. I'm gonna, you know, it's a nice thing, nice shirt like that. Do you take it? And you enjoy it. It was always great when somebody else was picking up the tab. How many times have I done that? Okay. The bill's covered. You don't have to worry about it. You can dig for your wallet, but it's too late. It's already taken care of. I've had that happen many times right here. People have done that. But every time that happens, and every time I think about that right there, I realize that, you know, it was a debt that I really owed, but for, I guess in no better terms than this, it was pardoned. It was just taken care of. Generosity was extended to me. And I know that is very, very true because I accepted the invitation to come along. I went and did the things, and then the generosity that they had reflected on them. Now, not everybody was included in that. When Uncle Howard did things, he didn't buy for the entire restaurant, you know, but he did for his family and all that. And he knew who was who within that group. He had to. You didn't realize that's like God? You ever stop to think about that? The debts that you owed, God paid. He didn't pay it for just anybody. He paid it for his children. Was it offered to everybody? Yes, it was offered to everybody. But those that came along received it. Now, it can happen in a lot of different ways. One day, Christ will return. He's coming back. And I believe just that what that says right there. I'm counting on grace. I'm counting on, because I know the day that he comes will be a day of pardon for me. And it will be for all believers. And that brings to mind judgment. You know, I'm supposed to behave today. I've not behaved in the last couple weeks, according to some people. And according to others, that I don't use enough scripture passages. So you better be prepared for a lot of scripture passages today, because you're going to get them. You're going to get to see what the Word of God says. There's three things that are accomplished by judgment. And the first one is this, that's God's grace is going to be revealed. You ever think about that? At the judgment seat of Christ, God's grace is going to be revealed because we received the grace. We're not under the condemnation. And that's one of the things judgment is going to bring. The second thing that's going to happen is that when rewards are handed out, they will be unveiled to those that will receive those rewards. Those that stand before him. And the third thing that's going to take place is it's not quite as fun because it's about unbelievers. Unbelievers are going to pay a price. There won't be an Uncle Howard picking up the tab. Jesus tried, but to do that very thing for everybody. But some would not believe, some would not follow, some would not show any interest in it. They will pay a price. And my friends, that's a terrible price. A price that will be extremely severe because they rejected their only hope of salvation. In the Gospel of Matthew, the 24th chapter, we have the passage of Scripture, verse 38, Matthew 24, 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came, took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He made it very clear. The message was sent out. It was a message of judgment. And the same thing is happening today. You're hearing a message on judgment because it will take place. People in Noah's day, they didn't pay attention. People today, they don't pay attention. They're not interested in what I have to say about that. Noah was sent to deliver humanity, that those that were innocent would be saved. Jesus Christ was here to save the entire world. The flood came. Waters poured over everybody. There'll be another flood. It'll be a flood of fire that will fall from heaven. Noah built a safe place, and those that went in hid within that ark. Jesus made that very safe place also. It was in the cross. That was his place. Those that believed hid in the ark, and those that believe today will hide in Jesus Christ. That's what they will do. God, once again, he's doing this all over. He has pronounced to every one of us a universal and irreversible judgment that's coming. It's coming to our world. It's coming, you know, it's coming to your hometown. It's coming to your house. It's coming everywhere that you want to be. It's because it's where grace is revealed, where grace comes through. Rewards are going to be unveiled for those that receive the rewards. But the impenitent, I'm sorry, they're going to be punished. Because God is a righteous God. And the warnings have gone out over and over. The era of Noah, what took place in his days, and back in Genesis chapter 6, the very things that were said in verse 11, people on earth did what God said was evil, and violence was everywhere. And it was everywhere. Then in the next chapter, it goes on to talk about in the seventh chapter. And it says, the water rose so much that even the highest mountains under the sky were covered by it. It continued to rise until it was more than 20 feet above the mountains. There was no hope. There was no one going to tread water for 40 days. There weren't boats. There wasn't all those things. It was just the very fact that this is what took place because God said, it is evil. And it's violent. And I must end this very thing. Only Noah, his family, and the animals that God sent escaped the flood. They're the only ones. Everybody else was gone. They perished. No matter what. Now, God didn't slam down his gavel on the desk. He didn't do that. But what he did do, he closed the door on that ark. He said, it's over. I have worked with you. I've tried to get through to you, but you're not paying attention. You don't really care. You don't really want to know it. In Matthew's gospel, in the 25th chapter, he says, before him will be gathered all the nations. Paul would go on to in Timothy, and he or 2 Corinthians first. For he must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That means everybody. We will all appear before that judgment seat. These are his words that he has shared with us. We have the historical sketches. We have all of these information that comes our way. But as it was in Noah's day, it's going to be the same when Christ comes again. It's going to be a judgment that's going to be given. Now, I know I've had to listen to, through the years in the ministry, the questions that are always raised at this point. Things like, well, how is it they've never heard of Jesus Christ? Been asked that over and over again. Well, what happens if they lived before Jesus was in this world? Or maybe, what happens if they never heard the gospel? No one ever proclaimed it to them. All I can say is that this is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that God will pour out His Spirit, and that even if they don't hear a man, the very rocks will cry out. In the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter, you find there in the 20th verse the very thing that I'm talking about this morning. You got that one? Matthew 11, 20. There we go. More coffee in the balcony. Okay. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of the mighty works were done because they repented not. Woe unto Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. What is God saying? He's saying right there, Jesus is making it clear, if I'd have done this in another city, this is the result. They would have repented. But I gave even more concentration to the cities that were placed before in Bethsaida. And you didn't repent. You didn't do what the Word of God said to do. To whom much greater privilege has been given, much more responsibility. Isn't that what the Bible speaks about? To whom much is given, much shall be required. You know, that's the one thing about coming to church. You're getting a lot of light. Light is shining. We have to live up to the light. We've been given the privilege of hearing the Word of God. One author wrote this. He said, the saddest road to hell is that which runs under the pulpit, past the Bible, and through the midst of warnings and invitations. That's pretty well stated right there. You see, that is God's principle. He has judgment because he's a holy God. He's put up with us a long time. But he's been merciful, has he not? Has he not taken those things on him for himself? He's extended grace when probably we didn't deserve any grace. He's done things and said, I forgive you, even though we probably should have been punished even harder for this. But you see, that is humanity. But judgment's going to be based upon humanity's response to his grace and to his mercy, because that's always been the message. That's been the message that we are to receive. We are accountable for the things that we know. But I want to make it clear, you're not accountable for what you don't know. I know there are some that believe that way, that we'll be accountable for everything. No, if you don't know it, you don't know it. If the light has never been shown, how can you not see it? Oh, well, it's because it's been turned off. I never saw that. I was never given that. No one is going to be compared to each other. You know, you may be privileged to know a lot about this word. Maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, but he ought to speak to you one thing. No one will stand to your judgment seat. They will stand before a holy God that knows everything. They will come before him, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, our attorney, will be the one that says, this is what I have revealed. And we walk in what he's revealed. Did not God tell Daniel and he told John and the Revelator, shut up the book. No more will be said. That is true of every person. We all have light. The extent of that light is dependent upon God. If the Holy Spirit reveals it, it's there. In the book of the Psalms, in the 19th division of that psalm, in verse number 1, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The rocks are going to cry out. People are going to know. Well, how about those people over there that doesn't have this privilege? How about all of those things? Well, I believe God handles that. You know, we have the privilege of speaking, coming to church. We have all those kind of things. I don't know what takes place in the deepest dark, as they used to say in Africa, that I don't know about. But I know this, God's there. I know that he will make his world to respond to his voice. He will walk in that garden. He will do whatever is necessary. He will do that. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, makes this statement to him. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You realize that? We will not stand before the judgment seat with an excuse. There'll be no excuse. We've heard the word. We are to respond to that word. On in the second chapter of that same book, in Romans chapter 2, verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts and the means while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. This is what judgment is. And it's what God is going to be expecting of everybody. Not just a select few church people, but the entire world will stand before him. And they will be judged. If we don't cry out, nature, if people could just have nature, they can see God. You say, well, yeah, but we're intelligent. Are we intelligent enough to believe God that he will take care of this? Well, how about this? I said, aren't you glad that you're not smart enough to take care of them? I mean, do you want to be God? I don't want to be God. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he didn't ask me. And I'm afraid to say, now some of them might hurt your feelings, but he didn't ask you either. So there you go, right there. So who will be judged? Well, not only who will be judged, what will be judged? You ever think about that part of it? What will be judged? Everything. Everything in our lives. Our lives will be laid bare before him, as they always have been. We may not think of it that way, but they have been laid before him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 talks about the deeds that comes our way. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. In other words, whether it's good or it's evil, it's the things that are going to be done. Our deeds, our words, our thoughts, all these things are going to be laid out before him. Revelation chapter 20 at verse number 12. And the dead were judged by what they had done, which was written in the books. God's keeping a ledger. That ought to be something to think about right there. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing. Once again, whether it be good or it be evil. You see, God knows. But why does he know? And what is the purpose of all this? It's to show his glory. It's not about the condemnation. It's about his glory. It's about what he has done to save us. What he has given for every one of us. Matthew's gospel, the 12th chapter, in the verse 36, makes it very clear. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, well, they're going to give account thereof in the day of judgment. Luke chapter 2, verse 2, goes on. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. You say, well, what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas? No. I can promise you what goes on in Robinson, Texas is going to be revealed. What happens anywhere in your life will be revealed. Why? Because we stand before a holy God. And that holy God demands this. This is what he's looking for in us. Will we be judged? You ever thought about it? Oh, no, I won't be judged. I'm good. Wrong answer. Are we going to be judged as well? Yes. We will be judged just like everybody else will be judged. Ah, but the one advocate that we have, Jesus Christ the righteous, we'll be standing in him. Hebrews 10:30 makes this statement. The Lord will judge his people. That's what he's going to do. And then in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul chimes into what he said in the book of Hebrews because he wrote Hebrews. Hi, Tracy. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse number 12 goes on to make that even more accountable. For then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We're going to do it. We're going to give an account. Who will be judged? What will be judged? And I guess the most important one for us today is, will Christians be judged? I'm going to spend a little time with that. Will Christians be judged? You know, many people think that that's just not the way it's going to be. I've been saying, well, aren't we clothed in the very righteousness of Christ? Yeah, we are. We're clothed in his righteousness. And as I quoted this morning, when Terrence was going somewhere else in Romans 8, I was going to verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And there will not be any condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. Real, true Christians will not fall under condemnation. That is not the point of judgment. We are clothed in Christ. There should be no fear of any kind of a judgment. Well, then, why do we need judgment? I can think of two things, reasons why we need judgment today. One of the judgment, it's going to reveal or unveil the rewards that God has prepared for those that love him, for the works that we have done in this flesh. Those things that were good, God said, I've got rewards. I'm going to unveil those rewards for them right there. And the other thing, which really is one of the most important things, is that God's grace is going to be magnified. It's going to be revealed from heaven right there. Now, I know some of you may be getting a little nervous now. You may have read or bought into the thing about how God's going to take a big screen and he's going to put up all your sins and everybody in the world's going to look at you. No. If it's under the blood, it's under the blood. Amen. If Christ has forgiven it, God's not digging it back up. From the east to the west, the sins will be gone. But what we have done in the flesh that glorifies him will be revealed. The rest of the things like that, I don't agree with that big picture. I believe that God is going to honor his word and that he is going to show us. Salvation came by grace, did it not? Isn't it how God chose to do that? And not one thing that we will do in this life, as good as it may be, and in the name of Christ, that will never, ever enhance our salvation. It's a finished work. It was perfect. There's nothing you can do to add to it, but there are things that you can do that would say, this is my service unto you. This is what I want to do unto you. We're not trying to earn salvation, but since salvation has come our way and we have been saved, we must do the things that God has called us to do that would merit what? Rewards. You know, that's what it is. Those things that we do will impact our rewards right there. Another brilliant person, not me. We are accepted into heaven on the basis of faith alone, but we are adorned in heaven on the basis of the fruits of our faith. There's going to be rewards given. We know about the crown of life. We know about a crown of righteousness. We know about a crown of glory. There's many other things that are right there. The scripture indicates it if it doesn't say it straight out. But it's right there. God is going to reward those that are faithful unto him. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he makes this clear. For every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall they try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Now, that was a hard passage for me to get for a while. It was difficult to get it. I said, well, if they did bad, why didn't he just toast them? Aren't you glad I don't sit on the throne? But what he's saying is, what God laid a foundation which was perfect in Jesus Christ. What have you been building on that foundation? Have you been building with gold, silver, precious jewels? These are the things that honor God. Have you been building with wood, hay, and stubble? I can promise you this, if you did that, you did it in your own power. You did it to glorify yourself. You did it for man's applause. Yes, you did it, and God may take that and utilize it for something really good, but it will be wood, hay, and stubble, and it will be burnt. But you'll still be saved. It's something you have to think about for a while, but the scripture is very clear. What materials are you going to use that's worth building upon God's foundation? President of our seminary way back in one day said to me, we don't put shack boards on the mansion. Now, I didn't go to seminary in a mansion. But his statement was, if you're going to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, do the very best that you possibly can do. The very, very best. What is valuable? We put terms like gold or silver or jewels or whatever we want to put down there. Or we'll try to build on ourselves, which is cheap. What is comfortable? What we can do. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know. God never gave that to me, never talked to me about that one. So I don't really know. I know what the word says. Matthew 25, verse 21 makes a statement. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Oh, something else is going to happen. Something that I was saved and God gave me something to do. Did I do it to my very best? I know that we were saved by grace, but we will be rewarded according to the deeds after salvation has come. What are you doing for Christ right now? What are you doing after he has done everything for you? You see, the deeds are going to be exposed, and they need to be exposed. All the things that we do, and we do it in the name of Christ, is a reflection upon him. And it will be exposed. It will come before us. Luke chapter 12 makes this statement. Jesus, once again, everything that is hidden will be shown, and everything that is secret will be made known. I can see why people think that God's going to put up a big panorama of your life and show it to everybody. I can see why they might think that very thing. But the primary purpose of judgment is to reveal God's grace and to glorify the Father. It's not about showing your life. Or do you think your life is so important that God needs to show it? I promise you this, I don't want him digging up all my past. I don't. Sometimes I don't even want him digging up the present. But I know this, sins have been forgiven. They're under the blood. And I know the blood of Jesus Christ is God's grace, and it's magnified. And it's going to be something that is given to us. That's why every time I think of grace, I itemize the things that God has been doing and how much grace he has shown me. I can catalog his kindness, all the stuff that he's done for me. I can register all the forgiveness that I deserve the worst. But God said I did it to glorify myself, not you. That's why he did what he does. In Revelation, the 5th chapter, verse number 9, makes this statement. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." This is what God has done for the entire world. All of humanity, all of mankind, all of those sins that have been committed are under the blood. If your life is where it needs to be, under the blood. And we need that in our lives. You've repented of it. You've forsaken it. It's not some cheap little thing that you keep going back to all the time, but something that is eternal right there. What happens to those that don't know him? What's going to take place there? Remember the three things I said about judgment? Three responses. God's grace will be revealed. Rewards will be unveiled. Those that don't know him will be what? They'll be punished. Very much so. There's a price to pay. And it's going to come. I began with the kindness of my Uncle Howard, in which he was extremely gracious. All the meals, all the special events, all the gifts, all the things that he did for me. And what a blessing it was that he did it. And I'm very, very thankful. It's because he knew me. Yeah. Did I deserve it? No, I didn't deserve any of it, but he knew me. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he made this statement in the 2nd chapter of Timothy. The Lord knows those who belong to him. Does he know you? Does he know you? God's never going to be fooled by imposters. It won't happen. You play the game, well, that's all you got. You're playing a game. People think great of you, that's wonderful. I want God to think great of me. I want him to shine upon me. I don't want to ever hear anybody, it said to anybody here or anywhere that claims to be a Christian, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to be the one that gets rewarded for that. For every person, judgment will come. And for some, it'll be a day of shame. It will be. It'll be a day of shame because their sins will be revealed. But they will not be forgiven. They'll stand before God unforgiven. And it will be a very, very sad day. But I know this, when it is revealed, the deeds that have been done by those unbelievers, it will be so overpowering that they will actually have to admit that God was righteous to judge me the way he did. I hope and pray we have no one that's dear to us that stands in that same realm. I hope we can say that we have shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. We give him all the credit because judgment day is coming. Jesus made it clear, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. It will be that very thing. But I'm counting on grace. Because that day will come to me too. And I know this, that's my day of pardon. I've been forgiven. Sins are under the blood. I stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that righteousness is everything. And one day I will hear, Father, that's one of mine. He belongs to me. Enter into your rest. Judgment is something that is true, something that is coming. And I think today you've been given light on what God is requiring. It says, call it deeds, call it works, call it whatever you want to call it. Nothing to do with your grace, nothing to do with salvation, but everything to do with after salvation has come. What are you doing for Jesus Christ now? I would like to be able to throw a lot of crowns at his feet. I would be. I would love to hear the privilege of getting to hear these rewards were handed, but they're not handed to me. They're handed back to him. I hope that is true of every one of us today. The judgment seat of Christ, it's not a scary thing when you're in Christ. But if you're not, it's a very, very scary thing. Let's pray together.